I'm Polly Warren and welcome to the Positive Perimenopause Podcast. This is the place for some positive inspiration to help you through the rollercoaster ride of perimenopause. I truly believe that with the right support, knowledge and wellness tools, you can feel your best yet. Because I'm learning this life phase can be a truly exciting and often pivotal time of life. With every episode, my mission is to support and empower you to own your menopause, because it's time to start taking care of the most important person, and yes, that's you. So thank you for being here and sharing your time with me. Now let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you've had a really good week. And I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Dr. Jen Salib-Huber, which was all about eating in a way which is not punishing your body, but instead nourishing it and nurturing it and giving it everything it needs. So if you haven't already had a listen to that, I really recommend going back and having a listen. Now, when I'm recording this, it's on the Monday after last night here in the UK when the Women's England football team won the European Championships. If you're in the US, that's the soccer team. I know lots of you are in the US, but they won. And this is something we're not used to here in the UK. We haven't won a major trophy in football for over 50 years. So it's a big deal. And to be honest, I found the whole thing really quite emotional. And I'm not someone who's watched a lot of women's football, but I think it was just so much more than just winning the trophy. It's more about the story behind it and behind these women and behind the team. These women have really had to fight hard to get to where they have because they haven't had the financial support like the men's football teams do. They don't have the support, as many fans as men's football. So, you know, the struggle and the hard work to get to where they have has been real and full on. And what's just amazing is how the country's got behind them. And I think it's because of their passion. There's this amazing bond in this team, and they really are truly inspirational. And what was just so lovely to watch when watching it last night is that all the fans who were there, it was a real family affair, loads of women, loads of kids, particularly girls. I wanted to share this with you because I think we can all take something away from this. I think it shows us what is possible, even when no one believes in you. Because I know they were talking last night that lots of corporate sponsors didn't want to get involved. Some of the biggest stadiums didn't want to host this tournament. And you know, they didn't have that backing. And yet this team and everybody involved in this team had this vision and they followed it through. And it's, you know, they were all completely incredulous when they won, but they kind of had this knowing that it was absolutely possible. And I think we as midlife women who still have so much left to give to the world can take something from this, because it's never too late in life to do anything. And I think we can, you know, if we keep dreaming and keep not giving up on our dreams, then we too can achieve anything we want. And so it's never been more important than now to get yourself feeling fit, feeling well, feeling great, so that you too can fulfill your true potential. So I suppose that leads me really nicely this week onto this week's guest, who is also an inspirational person. So this week I spoke to Marianne Stewart. Now, Marianne is a true pioneer in the menopause space. She's a world-leading expert and author of 28 books. That's a lot of books. She's written about PMS, perimenopause, and menopause. And what I love is that all of her work is based on scientific research. She's conducted many, many scientific studies which inform her approach with her online business. And she runs a program called the Midlife Refuel Program. And she also has a community alongside that, which is all about treating menopause entirely naturally, so without hormones. So Marianne started out helping girls and young women with PMS until, unfortunately, really sadly, her daughter died of taking legal highs in her early 20s. So Marion, at that time, understandably took a break, but not just to take a break, she actually ended up running a charity to stop tragedies like this from happening again. And then when she came back from that, she found that she was having requests from the same women who she was helping with their PMS symptoms, who were now actually experiencing perimenopause symptoms. And this is when she founded her real purposeful business, helping women to claim back their health during perimenopause and menopause. Marion was awarded the British Empire Medal, the BEM, for her charitable work. And she really is a true inspiration. I can't tell you how excited I was to talk to Marion. She's got so much knowledge and wisdom to share. So without further ado, please welcome the amazing Marion Stewart. So Marion Stewart, it's so brilliant to have you on the podcast. I'm completely excited and I feel very honoured that you are here. So thank you for coming.
My pleasure. My goodness, I wish I was actually in Brighton with you right now, as opposed to being so many miles away. But my heart is in Brighton, I think, or part of it still.
Oh, well, the sun is shining. The sea today was beautiful, I have to tell you. I went in it. So, yeah, it was. You can always come back and visit.
I will be doing that. Oh, I do that on a regular basis.
So, Marion, I have your brilliant book in my hand. It's your latest book, Manage Your Menopause Naturally. I'm curious, after writing 27 books before this one, what inspired you to write this particular book?
Well, two things, really. I think one is I had the last book before that I did. Most of my books have been with publishers, but the book I did before that was actually a magazine style book that I self-published. And I wanted to have a publisher publish an up-to-date book on the menopause. And even more importantly, I'd remarried an American man, so I spend a lot of my time in America, and I had never had a book published here. So that book was published by an American publisher, by New World Library, and I got rejected from so many places because I wasn't known here. So eventually two publishers said they wanted to publish it, and I was off to the races. So it got published in the UK as well, And also, by the time this book came out, I'd had a million women see four films I put on Facebook. So instead of delivering my 5-month program to individuals, which I'd been doing for 25 years, and 91% of them were symptom free, I took the science and turned it into 6 bite-sized modules so that I could teach women virtually how to manage their menopause. And so I've got the first 6 chapters of the book is the 6 weeks of the course for people to self-help. So there's a lot more in there besides 6 chapters, but that was kind of why I felt it needed to be. And the research is changing all the time. There's new research published, and I wanted to put it in there with all the references at the back so that people really understand that this is a very science-based approach. It's been help tens of thousands of women over the last 28 years to manage their menopause naturally. And you don't need to go on suffering, no matter whether you're perimenopausal, menopausal, or even after menopause, because we're so predisposed to things like osteoporosis, the bone thinning disease, heart disease, and dementia after menopause. Most women don't know that. But the research shows that you can prevent all of those things. So this can be, with knowledge and support, this can be the best time of your life. Without it, it can be an utter nightmare.
Absolutely. And what I love so much about this book is that everything in it, as you say, is backed up with scientific evidence, with that huge list at the back of all the medical references. And I think that's just so reassuring to women. But it doesn't appear to be widely known or talked about in the general kind of world of medicine or menopause. Why do you think that is? Why are not more people not talking about this research?
Well, first of all, I think look at the research on doctors. And in the US in particular, there was a Mayo Clinic survey a couple of years ago looking at doctors and gynecologists, and only 7% of them said that they felt adequately educated to help women going through menopause. And I don't think it's any better in the UK. And that's on any part of menopause, whether hormones or natural. But the natural approach to any, I mean, I was married to a doctor in the UK for many years, and he was a pioneer in the natural medicine space, and him and three other doctors were setting up the British Society for Nutritional Medicine. This is going back to 1980, my goodness, four or five, I think. And they had 10,000 medical papers on the subject of nutrition even then. And I was on maternity leave after our second baby, and they gave them me to sort them into conditions because they didn't think I had much to do. And I found 200 on PMS. Do you know, that was then. And honestly, there are so many publications all the time, but doctors are not educated. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's the odd, you'll find the odd GP, if you're lucky, who does know about nutrition, but mostly they don't.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, isn't it? And yet there is all this research sitting there.
Yeah, and the crying shame is that in our last survey, and we've surveyed thousands and thousands of women, but the last survey on 1,100 women, we found that 96% of them were unprepared for menopause, and two-thirds of them said they felt robbed of life as they knew it. Mm. And we know, we've surveyed men, we know that men feel rejected and frustrated. They're too scared to have conversations. The women are scared to open the can of worms as well, because they think that it's the end of life as they knew it, and therefore there's nothing good in store for them. So why open the conversation and make things worse? Yeah. And in the workplace, oh my goodness, our survey, and I know there's a lot of news at the moment about menopause in the workplace, particularly in the UK, but our original survey, which we did about 5 years ago now, showed that on 1,000 women, 84% of them said their productivity was affected by menopause. And they were bombing out of the workplace. We know that about a quarter of women are bombing out of the workplace. And it's at a time when we need to be on top of our game.
Yeah.
We've competed with men all our working lives very successfully. Why get bowled over by your hormones now when all you need is a midlife refuel? That's literally all you need. And that will make you not only feel better, but it'll make you feel better than you can remember.
So it's this question, isn't it? It's why so many women won't do anything to try and alleviate it. That you, in your book, you said that this just blew my mind, which you've kind of just touched on a little bit there, is that 1 billion women from around the world will be experiencing menopause globally by 2025. And while more than 75% of these women will experience symptoms for a decade or longer, so that's a long time, 55% of them won't do anything about it. They won't do anything to try to alleviate those symptoms. Why do you think that is?
Well, first of all, I think mainly they don't know there is anything they can do. And it's very hit and miss, because if you, let's say, want to help yourself and you don't know what you're doing, you could just reach for a pack of pills that look pretty, and they may not even contain what they say on the label. So you may have tried a few things and failed and think, well, it won't last long. Do you know, it's just menopause. It will be gone in a year or two, and I'll just have to grin and bear it. But actually, what they don't realize is that you're at a crossroads when you get to midlife. And if you don't look after yourself, don't forget, 100 years or so ago, we weren't living much past 50, whereas now 40 something represents only halfway for so many of us. We were not designed to go the distance. So when you get past menopause, which is only one day, it's the anniversary of your last period, you're postmenopausal for the rest of your life. And during that phase, as you go through menopause, you can lose 20% of your bone mass, which gives you osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a bone thinning disease that is a silent killer. Mm-hmm. And a huge percentage of women who fracture their hip, I think it's 20% of them, die within a year. Do you know, that's massive. Women are more likely to have a heart attack and die after menopause than men, and much more likely to get dementia. And yet the research shows you can prevent all those things. And so as an aging workforce, and as women are, and their wisdom is so badly needed on this planet at the moment, do you know, we feel that there's an absolute duty to make sure that women understand that nutritional deficiencies that billions of women have, and low levels of estrogen, which happens to all of us at the time of the menopause, can be corrected, and you can then be firing on four cylinders again instead of two, and you come out of economy mode and get turbocharged. So it's easy to do it. It doesn't even take that long. It's just knowing how to do it.
Yeah. And it is just unbelievable that so many of us have been in the dark for far too long. But things are changing, which is good. And this work is amazing, which you're doing. What I'd love you to talk about for a bit is this thing about nutritional deficiencies. Because as you say, nutritional deficiencies are the underlying cause of so many of these symptoms. And I think this is something which so many women don't realise and don't understand. So I wonder if you could just explain why so many of us are nutrient deficient at this stage of life, how it affects us and what we can do about it.
I think it affects us even before menopause, because all the years I helped women with PMS and we measured their nutrient levels, they had massive nutritional deficiencies. So if you're a woman, let's say you've lived life in the fast lane, you've been a dieter, smoker, you drunk alcohol, you're likely to have low levels of nutrients. If you have babies and breastfed, then the nutrients go sailing out across the placenta and out through the breast milk. You're going to get left high and dry. And so that's why women get worse PMS after they've had multiple pregnancies and episodes of breastfeeding. And then you get to perimenopause, which is the 8 years leading up to menopause. And you're really firing on two cylinders. You know, you're pretty much like a bucket with a hole in it. And you need to have a refuel. And that's why, and in fact, after our six studies that we did in Brighton got published, showing that women very often have nutritional deficiencies. So things like magnesium, B vitamins, iron, zinc, essential fatty acids, calcium, all those things were in short supply, affecting our brain chemistry and our hormone function in an adverse way. And then on top of that, you've got the falling levels of estrogen to cope with, and the brain doesn't get that either, which we can kind of get into, and I'll explain how that works. But when you correct nutritional deficiencies, it's like switching on the factory lights again. Do you know, everything starts working and you go from feeling tired, maybe depressed, anxious, not sleeping well, achy, 90 before your time, do you know, all of those things. And suddenly those symptoms just melt away and you feel better. And people that have been struggling with their weight at this time, perhaps you haven't been able to lose, you haven't needed to lose weight before because you've been okay, but for the first time in your life, you've got this extra padding, particularly around your tummy and your middle, and nothing seems to influence it. Well, on our, even our 6 week program, women lose weight without dieting, quite a considerable amount, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's just so easy when you say it like that, isn't it? It's just, it's not rocket science. So it's just unbelievable that we don't know more about this. And I know for one that, yes, diet is so important. Let's talk a little bit about supplements, because obviously diet is important and getting nutrients through our food is optimal. But sometimes it's very difficult to get all the nutrients we need through our food. So supplements definitely, I feel, and I know that you do, have a place. So I wonder, how do you advise women to take supplements if someone's not actually in your course and actually they feel like actually supplements might be an avenue for them to go down? How do they know which ones to take?
That's a very good question, because very few of them have been through properly conducted clinical trials. And it's important that they go through trials because they need to be shown to be safe as well as effective, you know, because you're influencing your hormones. And that's really, it's really important. So in chapter 4 of my book, I've dedicated it to supplements. I mentioned the ones that have been through clinical trials by name. And I also say when to take them, how many to take according to your symptoms, because some of the supplements that have been through trials have been shown to be helpful for, let's say, hot flushes or anxiety or brain fog or vaginal dryness or whatever it happens to be. You know, you don't need to necessarily take them all. You just need to select the ones that are going to work for you. And so women who are suffering mildly to moderately, I encourage them to, with self-help tools. And in our Midlife Refuel Club, we've got dozens and dozens of self-help tools. There are films on different symptoms. There are webinars and downloads where you can for example, detecting correct nutritional deficiencies. And in the book as well, there's a chapter 2 focuses on that. So you can see, for example, with nutritional deficiencies, Mother Nature gives us all these amazing physical signs of nutritional deficiency. So on your skin and your hair and your nails, so if your hair's falling out and split and brittle or lackluster, if your nails are ridgy and breaking and maybe even upturned, and your face may be greasy, or you may have red patches at the side of your nose or cracking at the corners of your mouth or mouth ulcers, all of those things mean something in terms of nutritional deficiencies. So it's learning to meet your needs. And as you said, you can't necessarily just do it all with diet. So for example, if you have a deficiency in magnesium, which we found was the most common deficiency in our studies, you'd have to eat a whole field of spinach probably to get enough magnesium to, and you don't store magnesium in your body. It goes in one end and out the other on the same day. So you need to take some supplements in the short term until we've got you back to feeling good again. We did a study. This was just my husband who got the short straw because I was breastfeeding at the time. But we wanted to see how long it would take someone who was in good nutritional shape to become nutritionally deficient. And so he put himself on the national average consumption of junk food. And he, as what he was trying to eat healthy food as well, but he was eating just chocolate bars and fish and chips and, you know, McDonald's and all the junky type things that people tend to reach for. And actually, it was meant to be an 8-week experiment. And by the time we got to 6 weeks, he was so different temperament wise. He was tired, whereas normally he was very energetic. He was kind of angry, whereas normally he was quite even tempered. And he was a doctor, and he fell asleep on his waiting room sofa with a can of Coca-Cola in his hand. And as a nutritional physician, you can imagine his 2 o'clock patient came in and wondered what was going on. When we aborted the experiment, his nutrients had plummeted, his levels, and 2 of them had actually become deficient. And it took 11 weeks for the levels to come back up again once we got him off the junk food. And it was really, it's just a really interesting experiment. So on our 6-week program, I see, obviously, we're teaching women how to consume the right foods and naturally occurring estrogen and estrogen, as well. And even in 6 weeks, most of their things like brain fog, panic attacks, palpitations, fatigue, aching joints, hot flushes and night sweats, all of those usually gone within 6 weeks. The things like dry vagina and low libido take a bit longer, but it's unbelievable how quickly people feel better.
Is that purely adding in nutrients, or is that adding in nutrients as well as removing some of the processed foods, alcohol, caffeine?
Yes, so the program involves taking a healthy diet, making sure that you haven't got the things that will exacerbate the hot flushes, for example, and also impede good nutrients. So, for example, when you've got a shortage of nutrients, if you have, let's say, tea with tannin in it, ordinary tea, the tannin locks onto calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc, which are most common deficiencies, and those nutrients, therefore, are not bioavailable. So we teach women how to consume a healthy diet, taking out the things that are going to interfere with the absorption of nutrients in the short term, give them lots of alternative options, and then taking supplements that are the right supplements for each individual person that are going to address their particular symptoms. Also doing some exercise, which doesn't have to be marathon running. It can be just dancing to your favorite music for 5 minutes to get out the chair and start getting active again. And also doing some formal relaxation. So they're the basic things. The formal relaxation helps to rewire your brain, bring down high cortisol, helps to control hot flushes and night sweats by up to 50 to 60%. So it's a very, very powerful program. And it's something that is very easy to follow. You just need to know what you're doing and then stick to it.
Yeah. So You talk about these phytoestrogens. So that obviously means that there's no need to take HRT, but instead you recommend using these natural plant-based estrogen compounds, which are found in food. Can you just tell us a little bit about how these mimic the estrogen in our body and what foods we can find them in?
Yes, absolutely. So the first study I ever read in 1990 on the natural menopause was a study that was published in the British Medical Journal. And it was a study that was done in Australia at Monash University, where they took a group of women and they fed them soy, flax seeds, and red clover. And they found they were able to bring about a similar change in the lining of the vagina as they would have expected to see in women taking HRT. And so obviously that made me think. And then the following year, there was another published medical paper in The Lancet, that was done in Japan. And I just thought, well, if they're bringing about these amazing changes in menopausal women, we can tweak our PMS program and turn it into a menopause program. So it was at that point we started helping women going through menopause. Obviously, then there was far less research than there is now. Now we know which foods are, not just which foods are rich in naturally occurring estrogen, but we also know how much they contain. And we also know that the receptor sites don't stay full for very long. And there's no point taking, let's say, a supplement that contains 80 milligrams of isoflavones at breakfast time and expecting that you're still going to have full receptor sites at dinner time. So the idea is to take these isoflavones, which under the microscope look so similar in terms of molecules to the estradiol, the estrogen that we had before menopause. So that's how come you can fool the brain. It's a really similar molecule. And by taking the receptor sites don't stay full for more than 4 to 6 hours. So you need to have something for breakfast. When you wake up in the morning, your receptor sites are empty. And so having, for example, some soy milk and some flax seeds with your breakfast will be good because that will give you a fix in the morning, a phyto fix. Lunchtime, you can maybe add some edamame beans to your salad. And then you can have a soy yogurt with some more flax seeds later on in the day, either as a snack or a dessert. And that's really all you need to do. You can have, you can incorporate, eat tofu and do all the other things, but you don't have to. You can just keep it really dead simple. So it's not difficult to follow. And as long as you can tolerate those things, then it's plain sailing.
And is that something you'll need to do forever? Or is that sort of a short-term solution?
No, you're going to need to do it forever because if you think about it, once your ovaries are retired, you're never going to have circulating estrogen again. And one of the reasons why, apart from wanting to prevent heart disease, osteoporosis and dementia and keep yourself in good shape, your skin, your hair, your nails and your vagina in good shape, you also want to make sure that you lock out the horrible environmental estrogens. So those xenoestrogens that come in pesticides, pollution and waste and our household products will jump into the receptor sites if they're empty, and they can cause a massively increased risk of breast cancer. You want Mother Nature, in her wisdom, if there was a race between Mother Nature's estrogen, HRT, and the environmental estrogen, Mother Nature's estrogen jumps into the receptor site first and seals it off, and it stops the harmful estrogen from getting in there. And if you're taking HRT, it gets in there before the HRT, so eventually the HRT becomes redundant. And if you want to wean off it, you can without having awful side effects to withdrawal, okay. Which happen. You know, I would say to someone, if you're taking HRT, don't suddenly think, oh, I'll stop that and I'll get established on the natural approach. What I do with our patients is I get them established on the natural approach for a few months and then in conjunction with their doctor, wean them off the HRT slowly so that they don't get withdrawal effects.
Right. And do you generally find that they absolutely are fine and they don't miss the HRT?
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, all the years on the program, we've never used hormones. We've only used the natural approach. And if you look at the films, there's a film on my website with women talking about their transition. Well, obviously, they tried a lot of other things first of all. They just feel so unbelievably different, which is why they offered to make the film, take part in the film, because they want other women to understand that you don't have to feel like you've got dementia. You don't have to be taken by ambulance to the emergency room thinking you're having a heart attack when it's palpitations to do with your menopause. And you don't have to curl up in a ball and wish you weren't here anymore because you can't function properly. You can get out there and strut your stuff, feel like your normal, energetic, sexy self, and enjoy the rest of your life. And that's why this is so important, to just get the message out to women. If the very least we do today is give everyone hope that they can actually feel brilliant again, then we'll have done a good job.
Yeah, I totally agree. Here in the UK, we've got a lot of media coverage at the moment about menopause. There's a few high profile celebrities talking about menopause, and there's a few doctors who are really talking about it a lot. And the message generally is all about HRT. I mean, they do mention diet and lifestyle is important, but there's a lot of talk about HRT and how menopause is an estrogen deficiency, and so we need to replace it with HRT. I don't know what you say to that, and what, because I think a lot of women are hearing this messaging, and obviously you're coming at it from a different angle. I mean, I just thought I'd bring it up because I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, I think that it's tricky, because the book before last I did, I had a chapter in there on HRT, and I enlisted the help of two specialists, one in the US and one in the UK, who were really knowledgeable about HRT. And we tried to do a review on all the HRT substances, because there's so many different ones, and try and put it in context. I decided not to do that in this current book, because I feel that I don't really want to compete, if you like, with the HRT camp. I feel that women need to have knowledge about all the different methods to manage their menopause, and then they can make informed choices. We don't choose to use HRT because we don't feel we need to. You can do it all naturally. And that, I only see women who've had disastrous consequences. I never see the ones who say this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I do know that there are women that feel that way. But even if you do take HRT and you feel that it's good for you, it's not going to address nutritional deficiencies. And that's another, and it's not going to address lifestyle issues, you know, your fitness level, your relaxation, your stress levels with cortisol elevating and all of that. And so our program is a bit like a 5,000 mile service. And whilst I hear some of the doctors who primarily recommend HRT talking about diet and lifestyle, they're not really. I think they're just paying lip service to it, if I'm honest, because they don't really understand all the research, and that's not their area of expertise. But it is our area of expertise, and we've been doing this for 28 years, and we've literally helped tens of thousands of women all over the world, and maybe even more. So we know that we can take someone from feeling like the lights have gone out in their world, you know, feeling really down and out, if you like, back to feeling like a turbocharged, sexy woman again. And when you see those transformations, it's so, well, that's why we get out of bed in the morning, you know, to help women just do that, because it gives them back their life. That's what they say. It gives them back their self-esteem, their relationships, their ability to go to work and show up as the best version of themselves. And why shouldn't they do that? You know, we're an aging population. And in my view, every single woman has a right to the knowledge about how to have a midlife refuel. And so we work with corporations. Like, for example, I met Dr. Vivian McVeigh, who was the CEO of Virgin Care, at a networking dinner. She'd been struggling with HRT, even though she'd been a GP for 20 years before she came to Virgin Care. And I helped her to, she says, even in 3 weeks, her symptoms were gone that she'd been struggling with. And a few years, this is like 5 years later, she's still completely symptom-free and feeling great. And we then went into the workplace at Virgin, and we helped, she had 5,000 nurses who were, you know, going through COVID and on the front line. And so we gave them help and advice. And we've worked with many other companies as well. So it's in the interest of companies to help women. And so I love the new research and the new announcements that there's going to be much more emphasis placed on equality in the workplace. But I don't just want it to be giving out desk fans and the M badge, you know, because we deserve more than that. We deserve this midlife refuel, and it's working very well. And it doesn't have stigma and ageism associated with it, because you can just have the midlife refuel anytime in your 40s. every woman has a passage of right to it. And that's where we're aiming to go. And I think once we get there, it will be a bit like the scenario with pregnancy in the old days where, you know, you didn't really talk about pregnancy in the workplace, whereas now there are loads of facilities and time out and all of that kind of stuff, much more consideration. And so for menopause, I think rather than saying there, you're menopausal and we need to give you special treatment, let's say you've reached midlife, and so let's plug you into a refuel so that you can actually get turbocharged. It'll be great for you in the workplace. It'll be great for you outside the workplace. And that's the best gift we can give to everybody. It will have a great win for the economy too, because Forbes says it costs $810 billion globally each year due to lost productivity associated with menopause. So we can slash that bill by helping women to be productive again.
It's a complete no-brainer, and the work you're doing is just so inspiring. I love it. And also it's the ripple effect to families as well, yeah. Because I think, you know, from my own experience, my family were the ones, you know, on the front line who got the worst of me. And if I could go back and change some of that, I absolutely would. So the ripple effects of this are just absolutely huge.
I was talking yesterday to a woman who she was running literally a billion-dollar company while she was going through her menopause. She's now been through my program, but we were at a meeting the other day and she was telling someone else in the call that she used to completely chew up her workforce. She said she was an absolute ace bitch because she was so uptight and so lacking sleep and had brain fog and, you know, anxiety, and she just wasn't on the top of her game at all. And so she obviously looks back on that now and feels she should never have been feeling like that, you know, especially as a senior executive.
Yeah.
So you're right. There's a ripple effect. And we know from our relationship survey that I think it's over, was 93%, I think, of the women, or 92%, said that they couldn't easily have an orgasm. We don't talk about that. And the fact that 70% of them have got vaginal dryness. You know, you can overcome all of that. What's that going to do for your relationship if sex is painful and you don't want to be touched?
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. And so it's a kindness to help women to have a refuel, because it will affect every single aspect of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Marianne? How was your own menopause? I'm presuming that it all was very, very, very easy and plain sailing. Am I right?
Well, my menopause was interesting because I was going through a divorce. I had a lot of stress in my life when I was in my 40s. And we lived in Lewis at that time, and our house flooded. And it was just, there were lots of awful things going on. So I assumed that my symptoms at 47 were stress related, and I kept going to my clinic in Harley Street and helping people and coming out. And I remember walking out one day, and I was walking back to Victoria Station to come to Brighton, and I thought to myself, I wonder if this is perimenopause, because perimenopause wasn't really talked about so much. It's only the last few years that we're really talking about perimenopause. So I thought, okay, when I get home, I'm going to write a program for myself, just as I would if I was a patient. So I did that, and I stuck to it for 6 weeks. And I had hot flushes mainly, and night sweats, and they disappeared. And then I thought, oh, it can't have been menopause. It must have just been the stress and a coincidence. So I can stop taking all this stuff and doing all this stuff, which I did. And the symptoms came back again. So 6 weeks later, I was starting all over again, realizing that I really was going through the menopause. And then once I plugged into the things that I needed to plug into to meet my needs, and obviously, of course, I knew what they were, it was fine. And I didn't have any major symptoms. But then I never had PMS either. And I used to, you know, I've treated tens of thousands of women with PMS. So you don't need to necessarily suffer with everything to understand, you know, how it feels. The fact that we've helped so many women to navigate their midlife and come out of the end of it feeling, as Joe Brewis said in my film, practically a new woman, is just a great thing to be able to do somehow. And it means that until women really understand So for the next 5 years, we're dedicated to changing the paradigm. I don't feel comfortable about walking away from this. You know, I get days when I think to myself, wouldn't it be nice if I could go off and, you know, spend more time with my family or do whatever it is? But I just feel that I have a duty to help to change this for not just women who are going through it now, but also for future generations. We just need to sort this out and get on with the rest of our lives.
Absolutely. Do you find, one question I've got is, because the women I work with, I find sometimes what they really struggle with, even though they have the tools and they know what to do, they sometimes struggle with actually doing the things and keeping going with those. So that's what I really help with, is sort of those behavior changes and to try and make it as easy as possible. Like, do you find the same thing, or have you got a magic wand which you can to help them with that?
No, sadly, I don't have a magic wand, but we have a great system. And so in our 6-week program, for example, on the dashboard, because it operates now from your phone or anywhere, so you've got all your course material, you've got your personal recommendations, and then you've got your dashboard where you are accountable. You know, you fill in your diet and what you're doing and so on. And so we can see if women are struggling, and then we just jump on it because we're in touch with them every day. And every week we have live sessions and we motivate them. And I think that's the key thing. And they're going through it as individuals, but also in a group, as a little community. And so they motivate each other. And on days when maybe you've fallen a bit by the wayside, you come and get motivated again, you get back on the job. And if you're having a low day, those who are having a slightly better day help you, or we jump in and change the recommendations. Because not having a crystal ball, you can't see exactly what's going to work for each individual. You know the place to start according to their medical history, their medication, their lifestyle, their tastes and symptoms and so on. But you can't really tell how it's all going to pan out. So it needs to be mixed up and changed around as you're going through it sometimes, to find the right combination of recommendations for each individual person. And they get to a certain point where, let's say 4 weeks down the line or 6 weeks down the line, they're feeling so much better. They then become much more self-motivated. And then we have our coaching program, which goes on after that. So women stay with us and they come to our sessions to carry on being motivated, to learn about the new research, and to just plug into the whole system and community so that they can keep feeling good. And they know that if they go off track, they can always come back again. And that's the key thing, really. So we have to, in fact, I just was thinking the other day that I may invite all the women that have been through our program in the past back to a motivation session, because I know myself, and I'm sure you do too, that sometimes life knocks us over. Mm-hmm. As you know, get up in the morning, you think, I'm going to go and do my exercise, I'm going to do this, that and the other, and something happens, or a member of your family gets sick, or you injure something and you can't keep on doing what you're doing for a while, and then you lose your footing. So it is really important, I think, to have the community. And we're launching an app very soon so that women will be combining our Midlife Refuel Club into the app. So the community will be in there and it will be just very easy for people to come and get the knowledge that they need, get the motivation that they need. And I just think it's unrealistic to think that people are going to, you're just going to give someone information and that they're going to apply it and stick to it. It's just, we're human. Just doesn't happen like that, does it?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately, not at all. It's all amazing what you're doing. One last question I've got for you, Marianne, is, which I ask all my guests, is if you could give one practical, actionable tip to the listeners, which they could take away today, which is going to really help them have a positive menopause or positive perimenopause, what would that be?
It has to be to have a midlife refuel. Find out, you know, how to have your midlife refuel. If I just had to say one thing, be kind to yourself. Treat yourself as a priority for the first time in your life, maybe for so long, because as women, we tend to not do that, don't we? We put everybody else first. And realize you're at a crossroads. There's only one way you're going. It's either you're either going to disintegrate as you get older and your body is not going to serve you well, or you're going to get ginned up with knowledge and have a bit of support to get through this so that you can feel like the best version of yourself. I get all the people in our community doing something nice for themselves every day and making sure that they really do honor themselves so that they can turn up as the best version and be there for everybody else. Otherwise, you fall apart and you're not there for anybody. So that doesn't make any sense. So hopefully that sort of one thing.
Yeah.
bit embellished.
Thank you. I mean, I just want to say, Marion, I just think every, you know, what you're doing is really quite inspirational. And I just really thank you for coming here today. Your book is just, I use it, as I said, as a kind of a reference book for myself and for my own clients. And I just want to say a big thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's unbelievable. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And at the moment, I'm working in the US. I'm working on two TV series. And one of them will come across the pond as well. But it's just, I brought together a number of other experts, and I'm having such a great time tapping into their wisdom and helping them to tell people how to manage. You know, that I've got the best sleep experts, I've got the best brain function people, you know, it's just fitness people. It's just, I'm having such a great time. So I think things like that will help to open people's eyes, not just the women themselves, but their partners, to know that if they support them through this journey, they're going to come out the other end of it happier for it. You know, they'll benefit. There's a great payback.
Yeah, exactly. It's the partners who have got a big responsibility as well, because they are part of it. Everybody is a part of it, because it affects everybody. You're so right.
Yeah. And in the Midlife Refuel Club at the moment, we've got content in there for men. So how to support your partner going through menopause, if, you know, as a man or a woman. And all sorts of information in there, downloads as well. So if anybody wants to join, it's actually free to join.
Tell everybody where they can find everything about you and how they can get onto the program.
Okay, so marionstewart.com. So it's MarionStewart.com. That's the place to go. You can join the Midlife Refuel Club there. And you can, you'll also find details of the app when it gets launched in a little while. There's masses of information in there, tons of past webinars. I think there's about 100 weekly wisdom films. There's all sorts of information that people can get to self-help. And you can also assess your symptoms, track your symptoms and your progress in there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Marion. It's been so lovely to meet you. And yeah, so if you're ever in Brighton, yeah, come and say hello.
I will definitely. Maybe have a cup of tea on the seafront.
That would be lovely. All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I will put all the links to Marion's course and to her book in the show notes. And I just want to say, isn't it just so inspiring hearing of a woman who's postmenopausal, who's in her 50s, just doing so much good work in the world? And that can be all of us. We can all do it. Perimenopause symptoms or menopause symptoms do not need to stop us from achieving our dreams and doing good work in the world. As always, I love hearing from you. If you've got any comments on this podcast, hear your thoughts. I absolutely love it. And thank you so much to those of you who have left a review over on Apple Podcasts or rated and subscribed to this podcast. It really helps get this podcast out there. So thank you. I will leave all the details in the show notes. All that's left for me to say is thank you for listening. I really appreciate how busy you are, and I appreciate the time it's taken to sit and listen, or walk and listen, or go to the gym and listen, whatever you do and listen. So thank you, and have a really, truly wonderful rest of the week. Bye.